Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity to be able to gather in your house and to open your word. Such an awesome opportunity. Help us to appreciate that, to utilize it to the fullest. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to build our faith and trust in you and in your word. And let all of it bring honor and glory to you. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series in the book of Proverbs, and pick it back up in Proverbs chapter 29. It reads, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So someone, as it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. So if you, because of what you've been going through, choose to harden your neck, choose to basically ignore the messages and the chastisement, the correction that a Christian can receive from the Lord. If you get to the point where you don't want to hear, you start quenching the Spirit, you might say. Start ignoring the Holy Ghost. Start turning away from the Lord. You harden your heart, not just your neck here, but he's speaking of internally, what you are going to do. You're going to resist God and his correction. Then it says that shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. This one's pretty clearly understood. One of the captions that's below this one in the footnotes is saying people in authority or people in increase. I don't know if the in increase would really apply to it, because just because you have the numbers, unless those numbers are of an authority and have an influence, then they are just the silent majority, like we see in this country. We have the majority of this country are still, if you do the surveys and actually look into it, we still have a majority of being Christian in this country. But yet, most of those are silently sitting back in the shadows. And you hear the big mouth Antichrist bunch out in front. You would think that they would be the most prominent ones. They know they are just the biggest mouth. So the way it is written in the King James, where it says in authority, that is very important. Not just in increase, as one of the footnotes here in this Bible is, but in authority. When they have stepped up and are doing the ruling and have authority, such as our political system, then things are much better in the country. The blessings can be received and shared to the people far more than when the ungodly are in the rule and in the authority. Because it says, when the righteous are in authority, when we have someone that is righteous, that is in authority, the country will prosper more in that situation. You could turn this into the political thing, such as our current president, President Donald Trump. He acknowledges Christianity. He acknowledges the importance of it. He acknowledges God, the true and living God. And that has really blessed our country. But then you see the ungodly that are out there that are trying to cover that up, trying to squelch that, trying to deny that, would fall right back into this same thing here. All right, next one. Verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now, that's pretty easy to understand. You have someone, your child, that really seeks wisdom. And when you see the word wisdom used here, he's really referring to the wisdom of God, not just understanding of information. Wisdom that is true wisdom can only come from God. So when you love that, you're going to be a blessing to your family. But as it says here, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. It is going to lose your substance. Your not only your possession, your money or your physical, I should say your materialism, but it goes much deeper than that. Your very substance, it's going to eat at you, it's going to destroy you. Verse 4, the king by judgment establisheth the land, which is really the position that kings are supposed to be in. This would be any ruler of a country, not just the term king, but the rulers of a country. But he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. If that individual that is the ruler of a country, a nation, a town, or whatever, is being receptive of bribes, then things aren't going to go well. It's going to crumble. It says, overthroweth it. Verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. You need to be honest with people. A man that flattereth his neighbor, this is speaking of just puffing them up in an insincere, dishonest way, can be a problem for that individual rather than a benefit. We need to be honest with each other. But we got to be careful when we're honest with each other. Sometimes it's best just not say anything. You know, when you go over and you go over and you just go to talk to your neighbor or something, and you take a look at him and you look like he just woke up and he looks horrible and pathetic. And you don't say, "Wow, you look horrible and pathetic this morning," because I just wanted to be honest. You know, it's best to just keep quiet sometimes. But don't go see them when they look like that and say, "Oh, you really look nice this morning." Then you're messing up. Really, that's what it's talking about. Be honest. Be truthful. That's more of a benefit than falsely building someone up. Verse 6, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doeth sing and rejoice. People stir up troubles for themselves in their mischievousness, in their deceitfulness, in their transgressions. There are pitfalls, there are snares, there are problems. Verse 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor. The righteous are sincerely concerned about other people's well-being. Now, this isn't merely talking about the righteous considereth the poor when you might stop at an intersection, you see somebody there with a cardboard, homeless, give me some money. And only if you're feeling guilty because you're righteous and you drive on by, that's not always the fact. That's not always the case. Because sometimes those folks out there holding them signs up, that's their living. That's their job. They're making money at that. And they take that money and they continue living their ungodly lives. Many of them, I can't say all of them, but many of them, their ungodly lives. So if you give charity, if you give to a what you might think a worthy cause without full understanding of what you're giving to, you might be doing more harm than good. That's why we must consider the cause of the poor. What is the real root problem of someone that is poor? Someone that is poor, that has not been blessed with material possessions or with health or with whatever it might have been that caused them to be lacking of any financial substance, we must always consider. We must always look at that. We must always analyze that. That's why it says to consider it. Considereth it. What is the root cause? Is the root cause because they've done something to themselves? Is it because their problem is self-inflicted? Have they turned against God? Have they not ever even known God? Because the Lord's going to take care of His people. So the true treasure, the true charity that we need to give folks is the gospel. We introduce them to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to take care of them. If we merely feed a hungry person just food, just physical substance, we may not have helped that individual. Tiny portion, they may have gotten a little bit of the message that, hey, a Christian helped me. Let me look into this Christianity. Then you might have done something. But it would be far more effective if you could share the gospel with that individual, introduce them to the water that they'll never thirst again, and introduce them to the food, the Word of God, that will give them substance that will help them in this world as well as the next. Then you've really helped the poor. Not just temporarily solved the hunger of the day. We've got to be very careful when we do, as it says, consider it the poor. But the wicked, as it says, don't worry about them anyway. They don't even care about them. They don't even want to know about it. Just leave them to their own. But when you have a sincere concern for other people, that's the charity that it speaks of in the Word of God. Because in the New Testament, when you see the word charity, it's speaking of a loving concern of someone else. Not just giving some funds or some gifts to someone. When you have charity, that's a true, sincere concern for someone else's well-being. And that's really what we want to consider here, as it says, consider it the poor. To have a true, sincere concern for those that have not been blessed and help them so that they can receive the blessings of God. But you must help them in the right way. Verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. That one's pretty simple there. Talking similar to that one about the king of judgment, and these others here considering that if we have someone who is ungodly, who is scornful, as it would say here, someone who is not seeking the will of the Lord, is going to create problems. Going to create problems for the community. But the wise men turn away wrath. Very clear. Verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. But like when you sit down to have a discussion with someone who is a foolish person, you're not going to have any rest in that, because it seems like you just can't get through to someone who is truly foolish. Now, if we're looking at the use of the word foolish in the Proverbs, a foolish person is somebody that is both stupid and immoral. Because if you look at it, and that's what he's speaking of. So if you're speaking to someone who is stupid and immoral, you have someone who has no basis in the belief in Jesus Christ or His Word. And until they can overcome their stupidity and immorality, then you're not going to have much rest in dealing with that individual. You've got quite a battle ahead of you. And we got to understand that when we're given the opportunity to be a part of the work of the Holy Ghost, He must begin that work on an individual before our work is even going to have any influence on that individual. Because it isn't totally dependent upon us. When we go out here and do the Great Commission and spreading the gospel, preaching and teaching, it's because we've been given a blessed opportunity to be a part of the Lord's work. He doesn't fully depend upon us. He gives us an opportunity to be a part of His work. And when we're out here talking to someone, if the Holy Ghost has already been working on that individual, then they will be receptive, or more likely to be receptive, of what you're trying to give them and show them. But if the Holy Ghost hasn't even worked with that individual yet, then you're not going to have much rest in it. You're not going to be very effective. And I'm sure you have experiences like that. Some people are just a wall, not interested, not considering it one bit. And others, they're a hunger for what you are saying. They are open to it. They're receptive to it. They want to hear more. And that's the difference. Verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. The bloodthirsty. And those out murderous people out there that just want to harm others, they hate uprightness. They hate righteousness. They hate goodness. But the just seek his soul. We have that would be considered just. You could apply this to the righteous, to those that are of the Lord, those that have a sincere concern for others, even those that are murderous, bloodthirsty individuals. We still seek to reach them and help them. Because the problem of a bloodthirsty person is a heart problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's they do not have Jesus Christ in them. They do not have the love of Christ in them. The individuals that we hear so much about here in recent times that have taken up and harmed many people around them, such as the recent shootings down there in Texas and so forth. It's an individual that has a heart problem, that has a sincere, deep, underlying problem. They do not have Jesus Christ in them. Otherwise, they wouldn't do such a thing. And they hate those that have Jesus Christ in them. That's the devil working in them. But we still have a desire to reach even people that are like that, to bring them to the Lord. Because we got to look at the examples that we see in the Word of God when it comes to dealing with people that have been evil or have done evil deeds. The best example would be Paul. I mean, look, he was on his way to Damascus to go hunt down more Christians to bring them back to Jerusalem so they could be killed for being Christians. That was a bloodthirsty individual. But the Lord met him on that road to Damascus, and he was saved, converted, transformed, you might say, into the best missionary of all time. Somebody that started out bloodthirsty, hungry to hunt down Christians and bring them back so they could be killed. So when we see somebody else out there in the world that, such as the recent shootings and so forth, and the other bombings and whatever it might be, then that's an individual that might not have reached a point of no return. So we still need to have love and concern for them. Verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Like, when somebody comes up and just totally blurts out everything they might possibly know, it doesn't take very long for a fool to do that because they don't know much to begin with. But someone who is really wise, they don't just spew out everything. They use what they need at the time. Verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. This would be a ruler that loves to be puffed up with insincere or dishonest flatterings or praises, and wants his people, his servants, to look up to him, but it's in a lying way, then that just brings those servants into a wicked behavior. That's what he's speaking of here. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. Now, the poor here, he's bringing in, or you could also put in, the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. He's speaking of that the Lord lightened up. The Lord has given us all life that are here in this world, in this realm. All of us, whether they be good, they be bad, they be rich, they be poor. And that's really what he's pointing out here. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Very simply put there, when we have someone who is giving proper judgment, that will be a well-established kingdom. Don't take this out of context or misunderstand this and misapply it, because this would be one of the verses that people might want to look at and say, well, there you go, that can't be true. Where it says, his throne shall be established forever. Like, okay, if you're faithfully judging the poor, then you'll always be the king, forever and ever. No, no, no. It just means continuously, or it won't fail. It'll go through its term, but not speaking of eternity when you see the word ever here, forever. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. This one goes back to the old proverb, spare the rod, spoil the child. We need to give proper correction to our children. And if we do not give proper correction and discipline to our children, it is going to bring shame to the parent. We can see this so well illustrated in the world when you're around someone who has an undisciplined child, whether it be in a restaurant or be in a grocery store or be a theater, wherever you might be, that you have someone who is just unruly and rowdy and running around screaming and carrying on, and the mother just totally ignoring it or the father just totally ignoring it. That's bringing shame to that parent. They haven't properly controlled the behavior of their child, and it does bring shame upon them. This isn't a license to abuse your children, but you got to take it the proper way. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. It gives us some peace in knowing that in the final end of things, the Lord's going to rule and reign. He's going to overpower all the evil. 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. That one can tie right back in with 15 there. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This vision here is a revelation or understanding of the Word of God. And where there isn't any of that, you're going to perish. But where there is a keeping of the law, then there is happiness, there is prosperity. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Let's talk about proper management. If you're going to properly manage a servant or an employee or an underling, you need more than just simple words many times. You need more of an incentive. That's why when the Lord has given us instructions, do we just automatically follow them? He put in some additional things. He put in a promise of blessings, a promise of rewards, and also a promise of chastisement. So it's more than just the words. There's things that come along with that, accountability. So if a servant or an employee knows there's accountability for going against the words of the supervisor or the master, then there's a little bit more influence in his words. Verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. You must be, how they say that, slow to speak and fast to think. You need to think before you speak. You need to pause a little bit. Because you just spew out the words. Sometimes you're going to say something that is going to hurt you. Sometimes you're going to say things that's going to cause more problems. Sometimes you're going to get in trouble. And in some situations, you got to have that really close monitoring of the speed of your response depending on who you're dealing with. Because some people want a quick response. And if you don't quickly respond, then that might hurt you as well. So you got to watch out for that. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. This would be speaking of the setting where in these times the Proverbs written that you have servants that were in your household that would have kids and they would still be a part of your household and be raised in your household. When you raise them and give them the blessings that they need, that's going to be like another child to you. And it would be a real blessing to you as well as to them. Verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. That's pretty clearly put. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A lot of references to the pitfall of pride and arrogance. But when we are humble, we will actually be lifted up. 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. When you associate yourself with evildoers, you get entangled in their evil, and it is self-destructive. And it gets to the point where you become more and more tolerant of evil behavior. Verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. This fear of man here would be twofold. When you have a fear to where you're going to yield to man more than you're going to yield to God, then it is going to lead to your destruction. And that is going to be a snare for you. You must always put things in proper priority. Put God number one. Put your reverent fear of God way before and way beyond any that you would have of any man. And the other fear as well, fear of accountability. We must be more fearful of the accountability for going against God's word and His law than we do man and His law. Just like the disciples did, the apostles did, when they were out there being persecuted for spreading the gospel. They told them, you know, who should we obey, you or God? And simply put, we must obey God over top of man. And that's what we got to always remember. We see laws in this country being passed that allow ungodly behavior. They're giving permission to do something ungodly. That doesn't mean that we can automatically do that because it's allowed by man. No, God's law has preference over man's law. Verse 26, many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. That would fall right in with 25 there. You must always remember our judgment comes from the Lord. That's the one that's going to count. Verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way of is abomination to the wicked. That one's pretty simple. The ungodly hate the godly. And the ungodly people makes, well, I should say, the ungodly behavior is an abomination to the godly. It should make us sick when we see ungodly behavior. When you see the word abomination, that's really what it is. It's nauseating. It's disgusting. And we get disgusted a lot because we see so much of it. And it's on the increase so much now in this world. So it should make us sick when we see so much of it to the point where we're going to do something about it. But that's all that really responding to there. And that's all the time we have. We'll pick it back up in chapter 30 next time, which 29 here is the last of the Proverbs that were written by Solomon and accredited to him. The next two are written by other individuals that aren't even Israelites, but yet they're still found in the book of Proverbs. It'll be very interesting. We'll get into that. But that's all we have time for. Let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. Even these Proverbs written so long ago, it's amazing how they still apply to us today and will apply to us tomorrow. Help us to always remember that. Help us to have that burning desire to dig deep into your scriptures, to find that faith-building knowledge, to find the pathway we need to be on to bring honor and glory to you. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.